Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning, if you notice in your bulletin, is Yes and No in a Taxi Cab. This sermon will take the form of a two-person drama. So if you're looking for a sermon outline in your bulletin, you won't find one this morning. The sermon is a whole different variety. Our text is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. Listen carefully to these words. St. Paul writes, "But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, was not yes and no, but in him was yes, for all the promises of God in him are yes." Today is Reformation Sunday, and Reformation reminds us of our ongoing need for two things. One, for change, and two, to get back to the basics. The original Reformation Day, almost 500 years ago, found a German monk named Martin Luther, who was calling the church of his day both to change and to get back to the basics. Change was needed to stop church practices and stop church teachings that were leading people further away from Jesus and the simple, clear gospel. But back to the basics was needed to make sure that leaders taught and people trusted the basic Bible-based truth of God's love for all sinners. Such a reform is needed in the church today. Look around. There are so many organizations that call themselves the Christian church today. They're getting further and further and further away from the central truth of the Scripture and the cross of Jesus. But such a reform is also needed in our lives, our personal lives today. And so today's Reformation sermon will be, you might have guessed it, both a change, but also a getting back to the basics. The change is that the message will take the form of a two-person drama, a conversation, an accounting of a real event from some years ago, a conversation between a Lutheran pastor and a taxi cab driver. But the basics come in the message itself, calling us back to what is really important, calling us back to making God number one in our life, the first commandment. I think Luther would approve. Again, our title, Yes and No in a Taxi Cab. And now, all the way from New Westminster, I've imported a cab driver.
Where to?
Airport, please.
You a priest or something?
Oh, the collar. Well, I'm a Lutheran pastor.
That's so. I used to go to Lutheran church. St. Paul's on the north side. Pastor Jones baptized my kids. You know him?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I like him a lot. But I don't go to church much anymore. I got a theory about religion. All religions are okay if you practice them.
Is that so?
Sure. Go ahead. Yeah, sorry, I lost my place. Sure, go ahead. I always like to talk about religion. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like them a lot, but I don't go to church much anymore. You know, I got a theory about religion. All religions are okay if you practice them.
That's so.
Yeah, even every religion is good so long as you put it into practice.
Every religion is good as long as you put it into practice. Hey, could I test your theory?
Sure, go ahead. I always like to talk about religion.
What would you say about Hitler and Nazism from World War II? Was that a good religion?
That was no religion.
Well, hey, it had many of the characteristics of a religion. It had rituals, doctrines, heretics. Most important, Hitler demanded and got total loyalty and obedience. The institutions of Christianity were replaced by Nazism almost item by item. What does that say to your theory that all religions are okay as long as you put it into practice?
Well, you sure have a crazy definition of religion.
Well, how so?
Well, I always think of religion as, well, you know, churches and praying and preaching and all that stuff.
Preaching, praying, sitting and standing. And if you don't go to church, then you're not very religious.
Well, you know, like I said, I sort of got away from it.
Maybe you did. Or maybe you just got away from a churchly kind of religion, and maybe religion can include a lot more than church. For example, what are you loyal to? What do you really care about?
Lots of things. Like five-pin bowling. I like to bowl twice a week. Pretty good average, too. 350. You bowl?
Well, a little bit. But is bowling the most important thing in the world for you? Does it have your highest loyalty? I mean, would you do anything to bowl?
No, guess not. It's not important like that.
Well, what is?
I guess, well, my kids, maybe. They're pretty important. Even got me to go to church for a while. You know, St. Paul's. That's how much I do for them. One's in college now. That's why I drive a cab a couple days a week. Weekends, too. I need the money for the kids.
And you'd do anything for your kids?
Yeah, I guess so. Anything. My boy's the one in the military, you know, studying to be an engineer. The way it looks in the world these days, he might end up going to war. I'd go for him if I could.
That's so?
Yeah. Guess I'd do anything for my kids. Wife says I care too much. But what else has a man got to live for? No, take my kids away, and I don't care anymore.
Sounds like that's your religion.
You know, I thought you were going to say that. I sort of knew that when we were driving, what you're driving at back when you asked, what do I care about? Try to change the subject, because I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, I worship my kids, just like my wife says.
Well, do you?
All right, let me tell you. Yeah, I do. But it bothers me. I used to go into their bedrooms at night when they were little, and they'd be sleeping, and I'd love them so much I could just feel it. And I knew if I couldn't stand it to have them suffer when they were sick. It was worse on me than it was on them. I knew if one of them died, it would be awful. I knew I couldn't stand it. I'd even pray once in a while. And I wanted God not to let him die. I thought going to church might help. But then there didn't seem to be a God. Excuse me, Reverend. I didn't mean to insult you.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Well, finally, it just seemed useless. All that singing and praying and sitting and standing. Mind you, I'm not against religion. Good for the kids to get some starch in their lives. Something to keep them straight. But I know that something was going to happen. It would happen. It would happen to them. Nothing I could do. So what's the use, Reverend? What do I do? And don't tell me to believe in God. That don't work. I tried.
Well, I'm not going to talk to you about God, but we can talk about religion, because you have a religion and you're practicing it right now, driving this cab. You don't have to believe that there is a God, because you already have a God, your kids. I could say even more. You use your kids to justify your life. That's what keeps you working. That's what keeps you living.
What's wrong with that?
Why don't you tell me?
Don't play games with me.
I'm not, really, I'm not. I think you already told me what's wrong.
When?
When you talked about how you loved your kids and ended up thinking of one of them dead maybe in a war and you not able to do anything about it.
No, I still don't get it.
Look, the point you yourself are making is this. You have a God, something that says yes to you, something that justifies your existence. Everybody who goes on living has made or found that kind of yes for life. But the thing you're beginning to realize is your yes isn't that dependable. You can't count on your kids to be what you've asked them to be, your God. That's the trouble with all of our religions, all of our gods, all of our causes and affirmations. They are not God. They're not able to be what we make them. We have to work overtime to pump life into our homemade gods. And that's what enslaves us finally, because finally our homemade gods demand more than they can ever deliver.
But my kids are good to me. I couldn't ask for more.
Sure they are. But they can't be the whole ball of wax. And they won't be either. They grow up. They marry. They move away from home. They need us less and less.
Yeah, that's happening already.
Besides, none of us ever succeeds in justifying our lives, even if our so-called gods outlast us, because death says a final no to every one of us.
Wait a minute. I don't look at death like that. When your number's up, it's up. You bought it.
I'm not talking about how we look at death. I'm talking about the reality of death. It may be that death is the inescapable verdict on all of us.
You know, you make it sound like I'm guilty of something. But I don't feel guilty. Nothing's wrong with loving your kids.
Right. Not if that's all that you're doing. But if loving them is the way that you justify living, then you're living an evaluated life. And then death, too, finally, is an evaluation, and it says no.
That's pretty hard to take. I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask to be made this way.
That's part of my point. When we can't justify ourselves, we can always try to blame something or someone else, or the system itself, anything to make sure that we are not in the wrong.
Say, aren't you preacher supposed to comfort people? None of this sounds very comforting.
Well, we started talking about religion, remember? Trying to test your theory that all religions are okay as long as we put them into practice. I've tried to say that all people have a religion, a way of saying yes for life, but it seems that our homemade religions have a way of failing us, deceiving us, letting us down in life. And the verdict on that kind of life is death.
But you didn't say anything about God.
Well, you said, remember, you didn't want to be told anything about God. So we talked about religion, about life, about failure, and death brought on by our homemade religions.
But aren't you preachers supposed to tell us a way out?
I don't think so. Whatever else I have to say, it's not a way out. Christianity is not a cheap escape from the way things are.
But what's Jesus supposed to do?
What's Jesus supposed to do? I'm glad you asked me that question. Jesus doesn't let us off. He lets us in on himself, on who he is and what he does. Jesus is God's yes to us. And he asks us to trust that and to give up our other homemade gods and sinful self-justifications. Jesus is a different way of dealing with people. We might call it forgiveness, but it doesn't come cheap. Jesus' death on the cross is his final and total commitment to every one of us. It's the way that he experiences Almighty God's verdict on all of our homemade religions and self-justifications. On the cross, Jesus pays for our sins and takes our place. In the Bible, in Romans chapter 5, we're told this: while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. On the cross, Jesus took upon himself our verdict of death. But Jesus rose from death, rose in victory over the verdict of death, the final no of life. In Jesus, we are given God's yes, so we can say no to our homemade religions, even to join in the verdict upon them. Because the yes in Jesus is stronger than the verdict. Because when the verdict has done its worst, the yes in Jesus overcomes it.
Never heard of it that way before.
Well, that's what Christians mean by the gospel. To believe that gospel means to entrust ourselves to the yes that's in Jesus, to hold on to that yes against the no's of life. To believe Jesus is to be free for all the things in this life we want to make gods out of. For bowling, for the kids, for work, for the wife. We are really free for them, because we no longer have to make them into what they can't be, our gods. We're not trapped into working them up into something divine. We're free to be for them like Jesus is for us.
Well, where does church and praying fit into all this?
Well, it helps if we stop thinking that church is just a building or a religious organization. Church is the people of God, gathered together by the yes that's only found in Jesus. And the words and the songs that Christians share with each other about Jesus the Savior are meant to set them free so they can be a part of God's yes in the world around them.
Doesn't sound like any church I know.
Well, maybe we all have to ask where this is really going on. It's true that a lot of religious activity going on under the name of church today can simply be a cover-up for our homemade religions.
You mean even church religions aren't all right when you practice them?
I'm saying that churches, doctrines, even the Bible can be misused so they become gods and false gospels. Wrong religion is not trusting the gospel, the yes that's only found in Jesus. And that kind of religion, sadly to say, can be going on in the middle of some churches today. One common result is that church religions in so many places is boiled down to a list of do's and don'ts. And there are more than a few people today, my friend, maybe even you, who stay away from church because of this very reason. If all it is do's and don'ts, then who needs it? But right religion is where God's yes in Jesus is being heard and trusted and celebrated, so people are set free in Jesus to love others who need to know God's yes that's for them in Jesus Christ. Is this the airport?
Yeah.
Well, here, and keep the change.
Thanks. You ever see Pastor Jones? Tell him hello.
But you know, I didn't get your name.
That's all right. Just tell him about me. He'll know.
2 Corinthians 1, 18 to 19. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, was not yes and no, but in Jesus was yes. For all the promises of God in Jesus are yes. Amen.